Good morning and happy Sabbath, One Turner Church. How do I possibly follow that? So let's close for prayer. It has been an amazing service so far, hasn't it, Big Church family? I want to thank especially Shanae and Lisa who have really done so well in preparing such a great time. Father's Day is such a beautiful time to spend with each other. Hearing some stories from Dr. Don and, of course, with Joe as well. I have my own story, which many may know, but, yeah, my dad meant a lot to me. And he passed away when I was 17. And that was really tough because only 2 years before I had moved to Australia and he stayed in New Zealand. But what he did in my life still resonates today. And I think that I almost cried as well when Joe was quoting 2 Thessalonians and, or 1 Thessalonians 4 rather, and just about Jesus coming back very soon. And I am looking forward to that day. Are you looking forward to that day? Amen. I have a message that's entitled Fight for Your Families. Hopefully that's, there we go, good. And we've had some prayer, so I'll get right into it, because today, I think, out of all days, the idea of family, especially in the world that we live in and knowing that the world is coming to an end very soon, families are getting smashed from every side. There are a lot of pressures, a lot of external and internal things that really want to destroy the family unit. And it is so amazing to see and so beautiful and uplifting to see families being lifted up here in this church. And that's what we want to do. We believe that families are the cornerstone of any group of people, especially those who believe in God. So I want to transport you very quickly back about 1,500 years to 538 BC. Something very important happened this time. The Israelites had been released from a place called Babylon for 70 years. They had been laid in captivity, but had been foretold that they would be released someday, and this day had come. And so the Israelites had to walk back to this homeland, some of which had never seen it, as they had been born in captivity, to this place called the city of Jerusalem, which had been destroyed prior. And almost for 100 years, that place lay half built. In fact, there wasn't really a wall that was built until 100 years later in 444 BC by the name of a man called Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, the cupbearer of the prince, or the king rather, of Persia, came and wanted to help the Israelites build this wall. And so he started the construction, but the people around Jerusalem, those tribes that did not like the Jews, started murmuring and hearing that the wall was being built. And they wanted to do something about it. And so they started an internal war inside Jerusalem and threatened to come and attack, and they did many times. And it was getting very close to the point where the Israelites thought that they would be overwhelmed. And here is where we find a beautiful piece of scripture in the book of Nehemiah. I want to share that with you. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. You can almost imagine Nehemiah standing in front of his troops and having one of the best and most uplifting speeches of his life. He said, "After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, so fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.'" Could you imagine being in that time when you were surrounded from all sides and Nehemiah says, "Stand up and fight, and the reason is for your families"? Now we fast forward 2,000 years in the future, and we are in a time where we are not worried about building a wall, we are not worried about armies coming and taking us over, but we are worried about something. And that is that families and the church structure is under attack. Externally, by things like social media, worldly culture, technology, secularism, the list can go on. But even internally as well, disunity, generational gaps, cultural differences, theological differences that tend to break churches and families apart. And so today I want to briefly be almost a Nehemiah and stand up and say, we need to fight back and we need to fight for our families. I want to show you something that I did not very long ago. There's a video just on the right-hand side that you can see me scrolling. That's me looking at the Koorong website, and I typed in church growth and church leadership. And I came up with 724 hits. How many of those hits do you think mention the word family? What do you think it was? One. There was one book in a Christian bookstore that mentioned family as something that was important and integral to church growth and leadership. There is a sense that maybe family is just kind of pushed aside because they will grow on their own. They will naturally be okay. We need to focus on things like all of the business culture that we can bring into the church. How about we talk about things that we need to tick off? Maybe we need more empowerment, intergenerational growth, welcoming, good sermons. Maybe we need to have more lunch. Is that the idea? Amen? Oh, that was about a half-half. But nothing about families. And I find that quite a travesty because I truly believe that a healthy family equals a healthy church. And I think that it is so important for me to share that today on Father's Day. Just looking around and seeing some families here, and it warms my heart to be able to see the young ones just running around. Who cares if they make a noise in the church? Amen? That's a great sound. That's a joyful sound in the church because it means that we are growing. I want to show you something very quickly. Just a quick overview of the state of the church right now. 75 to 80% of evangelical US Christians leave the church before they reach adulthood. Does that shock you by any chance? Maybe, maybe not. We've been told this for a while. But you may say, no, but that's America. The US is going through their own stuff right now. That kind of makes a lot of sense. No, Australia is not apart from that. You may not be able to see this, so I'll be able to translate it for you, but a man called David Kinnaman, he's the CEO of a place called Barna Group, a very important research organization that gives us great and trusted numbers. He wrote a book called You Lost Me, Why Young Christians Are Leaving the Church and Rethinking Faith. What he found was that across the Western world, 54% of Christians drop out of the church before they turn 30. But in Australia, the dropout rate is 72%. For some reason or other, there is a great exodus of young people before they turn 30 with the church. What they found, though, was that the 72% of those leaving, 25% of them said they had no religion. The other 75% were either spiritual nomads or spiritual exiles. What does that mean? That means they either walked away from the church but still consider themselves Christian, or they're stuck between culture and the church and just don't know what to do. 75% of people who leave the church before they're 30 still have a strong faith in God. What is going on? There's a quote by the same book. It says, drawing on the Barna organizational internal statistics, Kinnaman suggests that the ages of 18 to 29 are the black hole of church attendance and that this age group is missing in action. Now, normally at this point, we start pointing fingers at the church and we start looking and doing looking at all the faults that the church has done over the last few years, and maybe we even start throwing money at certain things that we think the church can fix. But that's actually not the answer. Yes, the church has its faults. I can tell you that very much so. But one of the things I want to show you again very quickly is that in my very short time as Family Ministries Director in Victoria, we actually did a statewide Victorian survey of Victorian Adventists and the state of their families. And I just want to share with you two important data points that maybe you've never seen before, but have something to do with this message. Up here is a graph of those who are currently attending church versus what experience they had when they were children with the worship at home they received. And what they found, and what we found in Victoria, was that if you can see the graph, that those who worshipped every single day when they were children, almost 90% of them were still attending church. In fact, it's almost the same across the board, even if they had worship a few times a week, once a week, or even infrequently. But you see a big drop in the hardly ever category. That means that those people, the adults, who when they were children hardly ever had devotional and worship time in their family, statistically, were not going to stay in the church. Remember, this is just in Victoria. One more thing to consider. This is a graph of those who went to church when they were children versus those who had worship when they were children. And we wanted to see the state of their faith as an adult. And so there are two graphs here. The one on the left is the graph of those who went to church every week, and the one on the right is the one that had worship every week. And I want you to notice something that we saw in our results. Those who were still in church, 75% of them went to church every week when they were children. But almost 100% of them had worship every week. But in fact, you actually see this continue across with those who still attend church, but not the Adventist church, a different denomination, Baptist, Hillsong, it doesn't matter. It was almost exactly the same trend. And in fact, here's the surprising thing, is that those who did not attend church at all but still believed had the same trend. But notice, the ones that do not believe anymore, the ones who lost their faith but went to church when they were young, 50% of those people who went to church every single week still lost their faith when they were adults. But here's the big one. 0% of them lost their faith if they had worship almost every day at home. I want you to notice something here. Maybe you've picked it up and maybe not, but I'll make it very, very loud and clear. Church attendance is important, but it is not integral to your faith with God. Now, you may be wondering, why on earth is the pastor during a church service saying such things? Wouldn't he want to recommend and tell us to come every single week? Wouldn't he want us to be in these pews? Yes, I would love that. But it's still a flip of a coin whether or not that child who comes in the church every single week will still have a faith when they're older. What the research suggests here in just Victoria says that the most highest characteristic or predictor of people who will keep their faith when they're older, who will still be in love with God when they grow up, is worship at home. It's what you do at home. In other words, family is a stronger predictor than church with your faith and your relationship with God. This is why it's so important for us to realize that strong families really do mean strong churches. That we could throw all of the money that we have at the 3 hours that we have here on a Sabbath morning, and we could do a little bit of good. But how much could we do in the next 20 years if we strengthened our families? If we encourage them to have devotional time? If we encourage the connection between mum and dad? Parents, grandparents, uncles, aunties, if you are involved with a young person at home, you are involved in shaping that person's future. That child, you will never know the effect that you have on that child until maybe we even get to heaven. But know this, God wants a strong family. Now, this message is not just for the ones with little kids, because of course I'll be preaching to myself. This is for everyone. We all are involved in families, whether or not we like it or not. Some of us have really funny blended families. I've mentioned this before, but I've never had a traditional family in my life. I've got a half-sister, an adopted sister, a mum, a stepdad, and of course, myself. And we are a very blended family, but we make it work because we love each other. And so this idea of the strength of families being more important than the church is so important. I just want to actually show you something very quickly from Auntie Ellen. She says in the Adventist Home, the cause of division and discord in families and in the church is separation from Christ. To come near to Christ is to come near to one another. The secret to true unity in the church and in the family is not diplomacy. It's not management. It's not superhuman effort to overcome difficulties, though there will be much to do so, but union with Christ. One of the things that you can do to strengthen your family unit, and I would say the most important thing, is your relationship, your personal relationship with God. You can't fake a relationship with God to people. They will be able to see right through it. One of the things that we were warned about in seminary was that if we were going to be pastors and we're going to have children, then we had to know that statistically pastors' children are usually worse off than the others. Why? You would think so? Because the pastor tends to put all his time into his church and into his work and not into his family. But one of the biggest things that they used to do, and they said this time and time again, they hit it over our head, is they said, you as a pastor, get up and preach to your church about how to be spiritual, to have a relationship with God. How do you model that at home? Because your kids will see, my kids will see me preaching about the love of God and the relationship with Christ and how important that is. But when I get into my house and close the door and none of you guys can see what I do, who am I then? And what do I model? And typically, this is where us pastors kind of maybe lose the battle a little bit. We put all our time and effort into external. And then our family suffers because of it. You can see I'm preaching to myself, can't you? I love my family. And I love you all. And I want you to think about who you are when you walk through that door and you close it when no one can see apart from the ones that you love the most. And what they see modeled about your love for Christ. In 2018, there was an Office and Archives Statistics and Research study that was done by our church. It was shared at the GC, and what they found was that 52% of Adventists have consistent personal devotionals, while only 37% of Adventist families engage in regular worship. And this was the quote. The guy, Dwayne Esmond, said this. He said, can a church that worships at 52% alone or 32% as a family effectively proclaim a worship-centered message to the world? I don't know. But I know that we can change those stats very quickly. I know that it is Father's Day, and I know that we're talking about dads, but I just want to quickly put a spotlight to my mum very quickly. Because we were in a broken family, when I was 3, and basically from 3 to 10, I went back and forth between my two family units. In Auckland, my dad had one house. My mum moved about 10 times during that time in Auckland, so there was a lot of change. There was a lot of movement. My dad was a taxi driver, so he didn't have much time to give to me during the day because he was working most of the day and most of the nights, and he would sleep during the mornings. His contribution to me was taking me to church every single week. That was his thing. And I want to honor him for that because that really put in good habits for me in the future. But my mom actually took a slightly different tact. Yes, she was faithful in the church, but she made it her mission to almost, and I say this, force upon worship upon us as a family every single day. And I say force upon because it really felt like it was forced. There were times where she didn't even want to do worship, but we had this devotional book. It would take 4 minutes max to read whatever was on that page. And because we're a musical family, we would usually sing a song and then have a prayer. And that was the devotional time for about 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be a sermon. But what I found out after having my own children and after seeing the importance of my mum pushing that devotional time upon us is that when I look back, I am so grateful for that time. because it really did shape me more than I thought it would. Anyone here ever have Uncle Arthur books? You know, they're not in print anymore. They're worth a mint, by the way, so don't give them away, right? They're very rare. But I know that almost all of us were raised on Uncle Arthur books. I know I was. The Bible story as well, things like that. It doesn't take much to spend a little bit of time with your family, and the point is actually not really the message. I bet you think about the stuff that you guys, if you had devotional time when you were kids, the stuff that was said, you probably don't remember the message at all, I guarantee it. Maybe bits and pieces, maybe a story here and there. But what you probably remember if you grew up like me and had devotional time is you remember the time with family. And you remember the modeling of mum or dad or whoever was there and their relationship with God. I want to share with you Joshua 24, verse 14, a verse that you probably know. For me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But the Hebrew word for serve can actually be translated as work or worship. And so this can actually be a call to action in devotion. It can say, for me and my household, we will worship the Lord. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We know these verses, don't we, church? Sometimes these verses bring pain. Because I know of people who have been very faithful, who have taken their kids to church, and yet they have left when they've become adults. And I get that. This verse doesn't say that if you do all the right things and tick all the right boxes and you're a good Adventist with your children, then your child will be safeguarded to heaven and everything will be okay. That's not what this means. In fact, when you have a look at the Hebrew again and you understand it, this is a call to a baby who has colostrum rubbed on his gums. And what it's saying is that that baby will never forget the taste of milk in its mouth. So what does that mean about faith? It means if you model Christianity, if you do devotionals with your kids, if you are the best Christian that you can be, and you are imperfect, we know, but if you model those qualities at home, the data showed it, they may not come to church, but their faith in God won't leave. I guarantee you, it's still there, even if they tell you it's not, because they can still taste God in their hearts. As the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live. Do you know who quoted that? Pope. There are some things that they say that are good like that. Ellen White's Ministry of Healing. The restoration and uplifting of humanity begins in the home. The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon home influences. Happy families equal happy churches. Very quickly, how do we actually do that? I've shared before that we need to have devotional time, but really there's three things, and it's based on a portion of scripture called the Shema. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Have a read of it in your own time. It may feel familiar to you. We've mentioned to it before many times at the church. But basically, there are three things there that you should be able to take as wisdom to be able to show Christ in your home. Number one, be one. Relationship starts with you. Have an authentic relationship with God. As I said before, you cannot fake it. Your kids, your spouse will see right through you if you do not have that authentic relationship with God. Number two, be heard. When you have a heart that is tuned to God, then you need to be able to share that. You need to teach. Again, the old Jewish tradition. Even with Jesus, you see pictures of Jesus, the teacher, sitting on a rock, surrounded by people of all ages, listening to what he has to say. Do that in your home. Share things about God. Let them hear it come out of your mouth. And number three, be seen. With everything that you teach, with everything that you believe, make sure that it is followed with action. There were many moments, and I'll end with this, that during our devotional time, we had a stranger in the house who would do devotional with us. What do I mean by that? My mum would just strike up a conversation with a stranger on the road that day, and she would invite them to our house. And we would have dinner or lunch together or be invited to church, whatever it is. And she would not be scared. She would not feel judged. In fact, she took that verse in Joshua to heart and she said, everyone in this household will worship the Lord. My mum was an amazing model of how to show the love of God to people. And so maybe with your families, maybe you don't have to invite strangers, but maybe go out together and feed the homeless. Go to a soup kitchen. Do something that shows with your actions that you do love the Lord. Healthy families equals a healthy church equals healthy society. And I want to challenge you today, especially since today is the start of our week of prayer, to make prayer a big part of your life today. There are a lot, and I look around this church, who, yes, have young children, but we also have kids who have grown up. Maybe we're grandparents, and maybe we feel like we don't have as much input into the young ones' lives as we thought we would. Do you know something that you can all do right now? We can all pray. You can pray for every person that you wish maybe have to need that relationship with God. Maybe you want someone to come to church, but they just don't want to. Maybe there's someone you're worried about that you haven't heard from in a long time. Or maybe there's even something stopping you from having a relationship with each other. Families so often are broken up by the smallest of feuds that turn into big things over time. Prayer can solve any problem. And so I invite you today to keep prayer as something that is important to you, not only for yourself, but also for those around you. We're going to be doing it for a whole week. We've got a whole, I think there was pieces of paper that was handed out for locations. Please, if you have time this week at any one of those events in the evening, please come along and let's pray together as a church, because there is really power in prayer. And if we pray for our families, if we pray for each other as a church, I know that will be such a strong community for God. Amen.